Poll after poll reveals how Americans believe the country is on the wrong path and how there's no trust in the people that, believe it or not, we actually elect to steal the damn car. The major factor in that disapproval in elected leaders is, I call it the hamster on a wheel habit, that's saying and doing the same ineffective, unproductive actions and ideas over and over and over. It's somehow, through some miracle, actually keeps them in their jobs while improving nothing regarding America's strength and future. The next guest is a veteran syndicated columnist, 30th anniversary of his column, by the way, and Washington veteran, whose new book points the way to productive and positive ideas that would ensure a stronger country and future. His book is What Works, Common Sense Solutions for a Stronger America. We say good morning to Mr. Cal Thomas. Good morning, Cal.
Good morning, Chris. I like your hamster analogy. I use the groundhog from Groundhog Day on the cover of the book. The whole idea, you know, Bill Murray wakes up every morning and repeats the same day over and over again, and that's what Congress does.
Yeah, well, after the winter we've had here in New Jersey, every time I see a groundhog, I want to shoot the little furry sucker.
Yeah, well, that's true. We had a brutal one down here, too, but we get snow jobs all the time for the politicians, so it's nothing new.
This is true. Now, I want to start off with something, because just a couple of days ago now, we had this grand ceremony at the White House with Obama, these executive orders about pay equality, and it's something that you write about. It's a running theme through your book, actually. Why work and strive for what you are deserving of or what you want? Why do that if government is going to give you the trophy just for showing up?
Well, that's right. The founders of this country gave us a constitution, and it imposed limits on government. They understood, as well as the preachers of the day, that people's lower nature need to be controlled. The preachers were more about a different kind of lust, but the founders were about lust for power. And so they set limits on the government. They would be astonished at what the government has done now to exceed those limits. We have a $17 trillion debt and counting. There's lots of talk about reining in the debt, but nothing done about it. Reagan had a great line, the only proof of eternal life in Washington is a government program.
Yeah.
And it's so true. I mean, once you start something, no matter if it fails or not, it doesn't matter. If the intentions were good, that's all that matters. Well, our intentions are costing us a lot of money. We've got half the country paying taxes next week by April 15th, and the other half taking it. We can't go on like that.
That's the whole thing, too, and you do compare and contrast with medical care, what's in England and what we are headed to, which England is our, unfortunately, not too distant future, with Obamacare, and with just the spending and incessant spending of ineffective so-called solutions, you know, what can the future actually be built on a path like this?
Well, Chris, I spent a lot of time in the UK. We have property over there, and I've seen the NHS, the National Health Service, up close. Now, they've gone far beyond the insurance business that we're still arguing over with Obamacare. They're actually into government-provided health care. And you have long waits for seeing a general practitioner, longer waits when you're referred to a specialist, and even longer waits before the surgeon can perform the surgery on you. And then you have a government panel that decides if you're worth it, if the cost of the procedure is worth it to what they regard as the taxpayers. This is what's coming to America. And then you have people who can afford it, of course, coming from the UK, coming from Canada, because they can get almost instant care in the United States. But they're not going to be much longer if the doctors quit because they don't want it anymore and the system is overwhelmed by millions of new patients who think they're going to get stuff for free. That's what's coming here after the insurance industries are destroyed. And in fact, the Liberal Democrats, from Harry Reid, Obama, when he was running for president, said they want a single-payer system. They want to get rid of the insurance companies. Look, there are things that need to be fixed. There are things in Obamacare that most people can agree on. Portability, you ought to be able to take your insurance with you across state lines or when you change jobs, pre-existing conditions. But to think that the government, which can't even win wars anymore, can do a better job with one-sixth of the economy is akin to faith in a cult. And it is a cult. Government has become a cult. People put faith in it, never mind the years of examples that it can't fulfill your fondest dreams.
Going with syndicated columnist, 30 years now going at that, and author, and his new book is What Works, Common Sense Solutions for a Stronger America, Cal Thomas, on the web at the obvious location, calthomas.com, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. This whole idea, too, of where And again, using the executive order salary inequality, quote-unquote, ceremony from this past week, it's this whole idea of there's this class warfare and envy that the liberals and the Democrats seem to be firmly embracing for the 2014 election cycle, because they think that if you make enough people angry, they're going to turn a blind eye and just say and vote for someone who's saying something sweet instead of doing something effective.
That's exactly right, Chris, and the policies have failed of this administration, domestic policies and especially foreign policy. I don't even know what our foreign policy is anymore, except to continue pressuring Israel to make more concessions when those haven't worked in the past. We've gotten totally out of whack with our government. Again, it's exceeded its boundaries that the Constitution set for it. This whole pay equity thing, it is so bogus. Many, many women choose to work shorter hours or to stay at home and work part-time and do other things that are, to care for their children, because their situation is unique in America. But the unemployment rate among women is much higher than it's been in some time, if you look at the statistics. So the Obama policies are actually hurting women. And this whole idea of income inequality, I wrote a column a few weeks ago saying that I suffer from a deep, dark secret that I felt I had to reveal. Yes, I suffer from income inequality. Yes, there have always been people who made more money than me, and still today that remains. But I don't envy them. I don't say that they owe me some of the money that they have earned, however they honestly may have attained it. When I was a young reporter, I interviewed a lot of successful and wealthy people. I didn't envy them. I asked them, where'd you go to school? What's your philosophy of life? What's your work ethic? I might want to be like you someday. But now the attitude is, if you make $2 and I make $1, you owe me 50 cents to make it fair. That's not what built America.
Talking with Cal Thomas, his book, What Works? Common Sense Solutions for a Stronger America, calthomas.com on the web. And you're listening to Issues and Ideas. The whole thing with the unemployment, too. And by the way, maybe the White House should practice what they preach, because I believe the survey was the average salary for women working in the White House is 18% lower than men.
Exactly. Yeah, well, practicing what you preach is something that is that's not well known in this administration. And sometimes, it crosses the line. Republicans are guilty and complicit in some of this, too. They just grow government a little less fast than the Democrats do.
Oh, yeah, the spending during the George W. Bush years. I mean, there wasn't a spending bill, I think, except maybe the last one just for a show that he actually vetoed.
Yeah, that's right. It's become the party of government that transcends the party of Democrats and Republicans. But look, the American people, we have to take back the power. I mean, the preamble to the Constitution begins, we the people, not you the government. We are the ones who convey power to our leaders. We should be telling them how much of our money that we earn we will allow them to spend, not listening to them tell us how much of the money we earn we'll be allowed to keep. That would be a great shift in thinking in this country. But when you've got nearly half the country, we've got 47 million people on food stamps, half the country now gets a government check, it's very, very difficult to wean yourself and to get back to what those who survived World War II and the Great Depression gave us in terms of character, motivation, and those other things.
Now, it's your book, What Works? Common Sense Solutions for a Stronger America, that finally helped me understand something, because what's needed is an understanding of method, means, and morals, which pretty much eliminates everyone down in Washington as far as the ability.
Well, not quite. There are some good people here, but they're kind of overwhelmed by the others. We don't pay attention between elections. This is the major problem. If you watch some of these man on the street things that are on cable TV, they go out to spring break on the beaches and the college campuses. There was one at my alma mater, American University, the other day. They asked a whole bunch of students to name one United States senator. They couldn't. Democracy is not something that's automatic. As we look around the world, we see dictatorships, totalitarians, fundamentalist religions, oppression of women, and a lot of other horrors, genocide. This is something we have to fight for intellectually, and it has to be renewed by every generation or it expires. We're not paying enough attention. We have to pay attention between elections, and we have to let our elected leaders know what we want and what we don't want from government.
What Cal does with What Works, Common Sense Solutions for a Stronger America. Imagine that you're at the base of a hill, I'll say the S word, and it had snowed, and there's a snowball that's just starting at the top of that mountain. Now, you've got two choices. You can wait there as the snowball approaches and builds bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and wait for someone in expectation to do something to get that snowball, now a snow avalanche out from your direction, or you can do something and be proactive and make sure that you stay safe, you stay healthy, and you stay strong. And with what works, what you'll gain is an understanding of why nothing is getting fixed by the masses in Washington. What needs to be done? Cal does give a tip of the hat to the ones who are getting it done, mainly through state initiatives, by the way, not through federal efforts. And you find out, too, exactly how you can be empowered and what you should expect of others who you empower in various political offices at all levels, from local all the way through federal. What works? Common sense solutions for a stronger America. Cal Thomas, he's, of course, syndicated columnist around the nation, 30 years strong with that. He actually somehow manages to coexist with Bob Beckel on another column that he does, which that alone, he gets a Nobel Peace Prize. And on the web, you can see all his work at calthomas.com. Cal, thanks so much for helping us become more aware citizens. I think more empowered voters. Thanks for being here this morning.
Thank you, Chris, very much. A great pleasure.